Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? We're good. We're so glad that you're here. I'm glad to be here with you today. It is an honor to be here, to stand here with you and share a little bit of God's heart today. I don't take it for granted. I don't take it lightly that our pastor would entrust me with your hearts today. But I just want you to know that I'm thankful that you're here, that I'm here. So the last this is the fourth week of our series, Get Your Life Back. And, you know, Pastor thought that this was going to be a great message, and I believe it's been one of the, you know, top 10, right? Because I really believe that so many times, especially now during these seasons of anxiety and stress, you know, with COVID, it's almost a year. I can't believe it's been almost a whole year that we have been dealing with masks and homeschooling and working from home and, you know, travel bans and all that. I mean, it's getting a little old, isn't it? Right? Who's ready to take back, to get back to living, to get back to shopping without masks, right? I know I am. I am so ready. But in the meantime, we serve a God who hasn't relinquished control. We serve a God who is on the throne. We serve a God who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the creator of heaven and earth, right? The creator of the stars. And, you know, none of this COVID thing is a surprise to him. None of it. It's not a surprise to him, a surprise to us. But for everything, there is a season and there is a reason for everything. There is a reason why these things happen. And some of them are not great, right? Some of the challenges that we've experienced have been painful, have been hard, have been just mind-boggling. And then for some of us, we've had some really good experiences. You know, we were able to connect more with family. We were able to spend more time with family. And some, you know, we were able to hire two amazing pastors and bring that family here. Yes. You know, Pastors Glenn and Adi, incredible, incredible leaders, and we are just honored and humbled that they would be here with us, you know? So he spoke, the first week he spoke about hitting pause, right? And hitting pause, let me tell you, in this crazy world, it was hard. Right, to put like the brakes on pause, because come on, many of us are working more than ever before, right? We thought that working from home, we thought that being in this pandemic, that we would actually work less, and I find myself working more meetings, because now they're on my computer or my phone, right? School from home for most of the United States, you know, a lot of the kids are working remotely or partly at home and partly at the school, and it's hard, you know, it's very hard. So pausing, hitting pause on our lives, unplugging, that was the second week, was unplugging from social media. Some of us are addicted to social media, right? That's one of the ways we kind of self-medicate, I think, too, right? Kind of unplugging from the world, right? But from the computers, from Xboxes, from PlayStations, from the TV, unplugging, but not unplugging for unplugging's sake, unplugging to connect more with God, right? Week 3, which was last week, he spoke about the Sabbath. You know, the Sabbath is a commandment. God commands us to take a Sabbath, right? A 24-hour period of time where we are connecting with Him. So on our walks, on our times alone with Him, right? On our times alone, reading a book, taking a walk, taking a bike ride, we're like, God, thank you. The sky is beautiful. The tree, taking notice of His presence in the small things, in the little things. Today, I want to talk to you about clutter. How many of us have a clutter problem? Be honest. You don't have to raise your hand. Oh, you did? Oh, hey, I did too. I have a drawer. How many of us have a drawer, right? How many of us have a closet? How many of us have a garage or an attic or a basement, right? Full of stuff. Stuff that you probably haven't been through probably in years, right? Well, I have a clutter problem. Now, if any of you know my husband, even just from here, from the platform, you would know that he is the type of man of great integrity, but a man who dots every I, crosses every T. He's a by-the-books kind of guy. He is color-coordinated. I'm like, hon, just wear some color. Put some color, because I like color, you know? He's like, no, gray, black, blue, you know? Those are his colors. Well, if you walk into my closet, which we share together, you'll see his closet, you'll know, his side of the closet is color coordinated, his shoes are organized, you know, his hats, his sweaters are folded. Then you look at my side of the closet, right? And I'm the type of girl who, well, that's not my closet, but, and actually that looks a lot neater than actually my closet. I'm the type of person that I kind of kick my shoes in the closet, you know, kick my shoes in the closet, I'll take off my jacket or whatever, and I have a bench at the edge of my bed, and so it just kind of just piles on, you know. And there's a Spanish song that we used to sing. It's in the Spanish churches. It was called Esa Montaña Se Moverá. It's This Mountain Will Move, and my husband would say, this mountain is going to move by faith, right? My mountain of clothes. And I finally had it. I finally said, it's time to clean out this clutter. It's time for me to take care of business. And because I hated going in there, I hated having to try to put anything away. I had to step over things. I would twist ankles and do all kinds of things in there, damage that, you know, I just knew I needed to take care of some things. So it took me about 3 or 4 hours to finally, you know, take care of the clutter. I didn't want to do it. It was hard to do. And today, the clutter I want to talk to you about is painful clutter. The clutter in your life and in my life that is taking up space in our soul that God says it's time to clear out so that I can now move in. Some of us have been carrying painful clutter for decades. Some of us have been carrying clutter for years. I call us walking around like that the walking wounded. You know, we look good, right? We smell good, right? We're dressed nice. We go to work, we function, but inwardly, we're falling apart. Inwardly, we are grieving. Inwardly, we are at a loss. The disappointments, the pain of the past, the things done to us, we carry those things. And they take up room. They take up space in our lives. And God said, enough is enough. Today is the day where you will begin that journey. So I want you to take your spiritual ears and put them on. And then I want you to put that volume level at an all-time high, because I want you to listen, but not just listen with your head. I want you to listen with your heart. I want you to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you today, what he shared with me. As I prepared this message, as Pastor said, hey, I would like for you to share. I was kind of, not naive, but maybe just thinking, oh, you know, I could definitely can share, but I'm really not going through anything at the moment that I can connect with. Well, as I was writing and as I was reading last night, I just began to cry. I began to weep because I knew that God was doing something in me still. And images and thoughts just kind of flooded my soul. And it came not from a place that I was crying because it was just almost like a cleansing. Have you ever had that, a cry, and it just felt good? It wasn't because you were crying because you were necessarily hurting or angry. It was just kind of a cry because you just needed a good cry. Well, that was me. That was me last night, and it felt really, really, really good. I want you to today take the time to listen, but listen with your heart. If you have, you know, I want you to take notes. I want you to almost think of yourself as being almost like in a classroom. A lot of the messages that we share with you today really, I believe, come from the heart of God. I do. I know that there's nothing that we do here when we speak to you. We're not speaking to you out of our head. We're speaking to you because this is something that the Lord has placed on our hearts. Because first, he's done a work in us, right? And then we are able to impart and communicate that to you. How important it is that you don't just sit here today and just listen, but I want you to hear. I want you to take it in, and I want you to receive it, and I want it to saturate every part of your being and soul today. I'm going to give you resources and tools at the end to get you started on this journey. Why would God want to deal with this now? Why now? Why would God want to deal with this in my life now? Because he wants to move into those places where grief and loss and pain have occupied. And he wants to move into those areas. Why? Because he loves you. Because he wants to share his heart with you. That is the reason why we live. We don't live to make a paycheck. We don't live to provide for our families. We don't live to suck air and live and build wealth. That is not the reason why we live, folks. We live to be loved by God. We love to love God. And we live to love people. How can we do any of that if we're unhealthy inside? How can we love God? How can we love people if inwardly we are a mess? We're grieving. We're at a loss. We're still remembering things that were done to us. God doesn't want us to live that way. He never meant for us to live that way. God meant for us to live in freedom, to live, to laugh with abandon, to love people and love them genuinely without strings attached, not because they've done something for you, not because they were good to you, but just to love them because Jesus loves you and because Jesus permeates and has saturated every part of your being from head to toe, inside and out. We function and live because of Jesus. Philippians 3:13 says, brothers, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I'm not naive enough. I've lived enough in this world to know that pain is pain and loss is loss, and we're not going to forget loss of friends and family, and we're not going to forget trauma in our lives. But I can tell you with all honesty that as I have dealt with trauma in my life, when I have dealt with the pain in my life, when I have dealt with it head on, I can tell you that it doesn't sting and hurt as much. It doesn't. Why? Because I've done the hard thing. I've done the hard work. I have cried. I have bargained. I have begged. I have pleaded. I have prayed. God doesn't want, he knows that you're not going to, there are certain things you can't forget, but he does know that it won't hurt as much if you deal with it. We walk around wounded, hurt, scarred, bruised, oozing, you know, like a cut with pus. Inwardly, that is what we are. And you know what happens? We leak. We leak on people. We ooze on people. We end up miserable. We end up depressed. We end up fearful. We end up angry. We end up with stomach issues. We end up enraged, easily triggered at the drop of a hat because we haven't dealt with things in our lives. Does God want you to live that way? No. Again, God wants us to live in total freedom. He doesn't want you to live all bound by that stuff. He wants you to live again with abandon and joy and freedom. Galatians 7:7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Many times we think that if we bury our pain out of sight, out of mind, we think that it's done. It's over. I don't have to deal with it anymore. It's good. It's all good. I'm here to tell you that what you bury alive will come forth again. It will come forth. Maybe not now. Maybe not at the moment. But I would say 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the line, it will come forth. It does. When I plant a sunflower seed in the fall, in the spring, I get a sunflower. When I plant a cucumber seed, guess what? In the spring, we get cucumbers. When you plant pain, eventually, pain will come back up. Pain is real and it's raw. We scream at our kids. And I'm not talking about just a gentle scream. I'm talking about screaming at our kids that we lose our minds. Sleepless nights. Maybe you sleep too much. That's a sign that there is, you know, yeah, you could be tired, but if you find yourself sleeping a little bit too much, you're trying to escape reality. Anger, rage, stomach issues, fear, lack of trust. How about cynical? Right? How about cynical? How about sarcasm? When you have been hurt, a lot of the times you become cynical. You become like, oh, what's their angle? What is it that they want, really want? Or you become sarcastic. You're protecting yourself. You're shielding yourself. So you have to build up walls. You know, God is a gentleman. Like I said, God can get in there and do his thing. But he wants us to deal with the issues in our lives, certain things on our own. Why? It strengthens you. Because he knows the process, though painful, is going to be a blessing to you in the long run. And it will. I promise you, it will. So guess what? Instead of dealing with it head on, we self-medicate, don't we? Self-medicate. So what do? We shop. Because what does it do? It fills for at least 15, 20 minutes. You get the adrenaline, right? You're like, oh, this is awesome. And then you have to keep doing it to keep that feeling. How about eating, drinking, drugs, sleeping, or lack of sleeping? How about binge watching a show? There was a season that I binge watched Hallmark. I know you've heard this. My husband calls it Hallmark, but there was a season where all I watched. I was escaping reality, and I'll share a little bit more of that in a little bit. But we do the self-medicating at the detriment, right, of our soul and relationship with God. So instead of dealing with it, instead of, you know, dealing with the issue, instead of dealing with the grief and the loss, what do? We push God aside by self-medicating. Because we're saying, God, this thing in my life, this thing right here, it's taking your place. I'm good. I don't want to deal with this right now. So then what happens? We stop the process. We stop the growing process. We stop the healing process. So, folks, I'm here to tell you that if you don't deal with it, it'll deal with you later on. It does. I'm 51 years old. 51, and I'm still dealing with things from when I was 3 or 4. Things that happened, things that I remember. Can you imagine remembering things from when you were like 3 or 4 years old? 3 or 4. I grieve certain things my innocence taken, the loss of my son. Those are all things that I grieve. I grieved it and it hurt. But because I was able to deal with it, wow, after 30, 40 years, some things, it doesn't hurt as much. I was able to forgive the perpetrators. I was able to move on and live my life so that my children didn't have to live with someone who was so broken that I couldn't help them. So I had to do that. Many of you know that probably about 3 years ago, I went through a season where I was just done. I was just done. I knew I had an issue and a problem when I would drive my kids to school and my whole body would hurt. Like even to breathe hurt. To take a deep breath hurt physically. I would pick them up from school and still in the same amount of pain. I would tell them, hey, just, you know, play, you know, go outside, shoot some hoops. I'm just going to lay down for a little bit. Knowing that I had dinner to make, homework to do, projects to take care of, I lay down for like 2 to 3 hours and slept, like a deep sleep. And that was almost every day. Now, my husband would say that's sleep. I could say it's a nap. He says that's sleep. Ruth, 2 to 3 hours, that's for some people, that's sleep. I'm like, well, it's a nap. It's a nap for me. Then I would come to church, and I knew I had a problem when I didn't want to be here. It's hard for me to admit that, but it's true. It was exhausting for me to greet people, to say, hi, how are you? I'm praying for you. I was just exhausted. I knew I had a problem when my husband would say on Sunday mornings, will you be at church? Now, if any of you know me for any amount of time, you'll know that I love ministry. I love church. When we had the 3 services, I would be here first service and I would leave. I was like one of the last people to leave. I'm a hugger. I'm an encourager. I just loved being in the house. Just love it. I knew there was something wrong. One vacation, the same time, during that same period, we were on vacation, and it was the day before coming back home. Joe noticed that I was on the balcony looking at the water, the ocean, and he's like, what's the matter? You don't look good. You look sad. And I said, well, Joe, I don't know if I really want to go back. I don't know if I can do this anymore. And he's like, well, what do you mean? And I said, I don't know if I can go back to the way things were in my life. I don't want to go back. So at that moment, he decided that I was going to take a 3-month sabbatical. He is the boss of our home and our church. And so I said, I'm not doing that. I said, I am not doing that. I can't. There's too much going on. Who's going to help? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Who, you know, he's like, it's going to be okay. We got it. 3 months, I sought counseling. I began to heal. I began to take care of myself without feeling guilty of it. Because many of us feel guilty if we take a break, right? Many of us feel guilty if we just take a bike ride alone. We feel guilty if we, you know, just go get a manicure, if we go, you know, for a walk alone, we feel guilty. That's part of self-care. That's part of resting. I'm going to share with you a few things that I did that really, really helped. It encouraged me. It strengthened me. You know, I can't tell you that I'm 100%, you know, that I still have my moments. I still have my tired moments if I don't, you know, take care of myself. But I'm better at it because now I have resources. I have the tools. So the first thing I did, I had to admit that there was a problem. I had to admit it. And I had to admit it because I wouldn't have been able to move forward, move on with what the Lord had for my life and the life of my family. But during that season, it was more all about me. And it was okay that it was all about me. All my life, I've taken care of others, you know. I think many of us have those tendencies, right? I'm a protector. That's my personality. I like to provide. I like to, you know, just to be there, to encourage. And I had to admit it. I had to admit that there was a problem in my life and that God had a plan in it. Number 2, ask for help. I had to ask for help. My husband had been on that journey already. So he saw the signs and he was able to encourage me. I suggest you find somebody that you trust, whether in your house, in your church, at work, a parent, someone, a sibling, that's going to be able, that you're going to be able to be transparent with and say, I'm having this problem, I need help. Then get help. I know that for the pastors, a lot of the time, and I know many of you do not believe this, but there are some who believe that we have the answer to everything, right? That we, the pastors, the spiritual leaders of this church, have the answers to everything. Some people believe that we actually live on a cloud, and we are in the presence of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and on Sundays we come down and we impart to you all. Right? No, we have bills to pay, we have issues, we have problems, we have people to see and things to do, and we don't have the answers to everything. So I finally decided to see a counselor. I still see my counselor, I see her once a month, and it's amazing. I'm angry at her a lot when I leave. But I absolutely love her because she has pointed out things in my life that I have needed help in. She was the one that pointed out that the issues that I was having was because I had unresolved issues in my life. Unforgiveness, pain, loss, hurt. When you've been doing life for any period of time, you know that there is pain and loss and hurt. There's all kinds of stuff that you deal with in life. Get the help. Ask for it and then go do it. My counselor, she's an incredible woman. She is a Christian counselor. She's on it. You know, she's truthful. She's honest. And what I love about it is that she can't share my business with anybody. Isn't that awesome? So I could tell her whatever I want to tell her. And she keeps it confidential. And she's honest with me. Trust God in the process. Number 5. Trust God in the process. Just probably about a year into it, I said, oh, I'm good, I don't need it anymore, I don't need to see the counselor anymore. Well, lo and behold, about a month later, I'm like, can I come see you again? Because life is crazy, and you know, it's okay to stick with, I've been seeing her for about 3 years. I love her, and it's okay. You bounce ideas, you bounce feelings and thoughts. It's okay to do that. Okay, so are my host team members ready, my transformers? I have a little gift for you, and it's something that I love to do. I journal. So we looked for a journal. We found one, and we would like to give you a journal. It's just a startup, right? It's in my favorite color. It's in red, right? And it's got our TC logo, and it's got a pen. So if you could raise your hand if you want one, please raise your hands, and we'll give that to you. It's just beginning. It's just, yep. Now, the journal became like my safe place. The journal became my safe place. It became the place where I could share whatever I wanted to share. I could write my feelings. I could write my hurts. Up here. I could write the dark things that were going on in my life at that time. It became a, I just, I'm sorry. Crystal? Over there in the corner. Sorry. Okay. So journaling became also the place where I wrote my prayers. Because sometimes as I would kneel or sit to pray, the words wouldn't come. So what I would do is I would write my prayers down in my journal. just began to pray. Sometimes it was just one word. Sometimes it's just one word. I remember my son Joey was going on to college, and I was because I'm a control freak, I was very, very stressed and nervous that he was going off to college. Okay, now he was only 4 hours away at the time, and I was like, oh my goodness. So I was anxious. I was stressed about it. Who's going to take care of him? Who's going to protect him? Who's going to feed him? If he gets sick, what's going to happen to him? You know, I'm not there to protect him if anybody messes with him, you know? I was just like, oh, my goodness. So I remember that as I'm writing, I'm sitting there, God said, just trust and stop. And those are the two words, trust and stop. Trust me and stop stressing. Trust me and stop stressing. Well, yes, trust me and stop stressing. So sometimes it's just a word. Sometimes it's two words. Sometimes it's pages and pages of things, you know. Now Joey is 21 hours away because now he's in Miami. He attends a Bible college out in Miami. We're supposed to get snow here. You know that, right? Tonight. And he's in Miami. So, but God trained me. I think he did it more for me than for Joey. It was like baby steps. Okay, he's only 4 hours away. You're going to get through this, right? Then he went away. He's 21 hours away. You can do this, Ruth. You've got this, right? And you know what? God has got it. I am like, I can't tell you that I don't check. I track his phone. I'm like, oh, yep, he's at this address. And what is that address? You know, moms are like better than the FBI, right? We can figure things out like nobody's business, right? Right? For those of us who are moms out there. Then forgiveness. So number seven, it's forgiveness. So we admit that there's a problem. We ask for help. We get help. We stick with the plan, the process. We trust God in the process. We journal, and then we forgive. We forgive the perpetrators, and then we have to forgive ourselves. Because sometimes we've kind of created a mess, right? We've created stuff and situations that have caused us pain because of our poor choices, and we have to forgive ourselves. Say, hey, God, you know, I forgive me too. One of the things that the therapist has shared with me is she said, I want you to write a letter. It was this particular season and a situation. And she said, write a letter to this person, but just don't mail it. Just write what you're feeling at that moment. That person was God. I wrote a letter to God. And I said, God, when this happened, why did you allow it? Why did you allow this pain? Why did you allow this trauma? Why? I'm angry. I'm hurt. I feel betrayed. I feel abandoned. All of these things went in this letter. I wrote a letter to my son, Seth. I miss you, baby. I wish I could hold you again. I wrote a letter to the people who hurt me as a child. As hard as that one was to do, I said, I forgive you. Because if I hold on to that stuff, if you hold on to it, you'll go to the grave. Miserable, right? Hurting, unhappy, stressed, anxious. God does not want you to live like that. He created you to love you. Isn't that beautiful? Think about that. God created you so that he could love you. Not for anything else. So he could have or Corey to love. He could have a Maria to love. He could have a John or a Diana to love. He could have a Tanisha to love, a Glenn and Eric. And he could have you to love. That is why you were created. And then to love him back. We can't fully love God if we are holding on to all of this stuff in our lives, folks. We just can't. God wants to move in, and he wants to share secrets with you. He wants to share his heart and his love with you. He wants to share freedom with you. He wants you to walk around this earth bold. And he wants you to walk around this earth loving people, smiling, laughing with abandon, like nothing in the world matters. That is what God wants you to do. That is how he doesn't want you bogged down with regret and pain and grief and loss. That is not how God wants you to live. However long I have here on this earth, I want to live my life loving God, allowing him to love me, because I am lovable. You are lovable. No matter what has happened, no matter what you've done or gone through, you are meant to be loved by God. Yes, you were meant. You are meant to be loved by God. Find an outlet. Find a place. You know, we like to paint at home. You know, go to Hobby Lobby and get some canvases, and we just paint our emotions. We paint our feelings. I know it sounds strange, but we do that, you know. Sometimes we try to, I'm like, okay, here, paint this flower, and then they just do their own thing. They don't listen, you know. But, hey, that's your interpretation, you know, of a sunflower or a house. But we found an outlet to be creative, to connect with God. Go on a walk, go on a bike ride, sit by the lake, sit in your yard. Just connect with God. You know why? He wants to connect with you. And we're so busy, we're so distracted, we're in so much pain that we just fill our lives with other things. And God wants to fill your life with his presence, with his love. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world, right? I'm going to leave you with this. C.S. Lewis wrote, the more we let God take us over, listen, the more we let God take us over, the more truly ourselves we become. You know what that means? That means as you let things go, as you say, God, this is, I'm releasing, I'm relinquishing, I'm letting go of this, you become more yourself, who God created you to be. Helpful, loving, kind, generous, purposeful, forgiving, gentle, kind, understanding, empathetic, compassionate. That's who you are. That is who you are. That's that laugh that you have. God wants you to use that more. The laugh, the creativity. That is who you were created to be. Because he wants to fill those cluttered spaces, those places that have been cluttered with pain and loss, that is why God wants you to deal with this. So today, I would love for you to start the journey. I would love for you to find a Christian counselor. Someone who's going to listen to you, Maybe before you do that, you can just say, God, is there something in me that I need to deal with? Do I need to deal with some these issues? Is there something in me that I need to deal with? Maybe the next thing you need to do is just say, I need help. I just can't do this anymore. I need help. I need to talk to somebody. Whatever your next step is, get to stepping. Get to doing it. I'm going to end in prayer. And I hope that this message is going to catapult you to the next level. I want to see healthy people, loving people in our community, serving in our church, at work, just loving people because you love God and you love yourself. Okay, let's pray. Father, we are just so thankful to you.